Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
He is a dude. He's very funny. He wants more money and more Mike time. He's got anxiety. He's got depression. He takes pills.
What mic you on, Dan's?
Yeah.
He's just a fuck boy. Boy. He's not your boy toy.
Welcome to Clement Cush.
He is our Sethy boy.
Last week was so brilliantly filled in with Cush and Hatley, which I think is doing well.
Oh, absolutely.
Now,
I hope I know you are very busy. I do hope at some point you get to check it out. I would like to know what you think.
I'm going to be spending a lot of time on the track tomorrow, so I might download it, you know, tomorrow and listen to it. But it's tough to listen to it when you're running heavy equipment, if you don't have headphones. Like, it's just, I do need to listen to it.
No, I just mean, like,
how long is it?
It's like 50 minutes. I just mean when you're kind of curled up, you know, at night in your trailer and you're watching the local channels with the rabbit ears, maybe you turn the TV down and you turn your phone up and you just listen to me and Brent put you to sleep. Cuzzo.
Now, you walked in like a wrecking ball and said that there's a shit caper going on.
Oh, man. I don't, Bubba, it's just, it's revolting out there.
Macho and or Rhett, I don't know if you guys are mics are live, or Lummy. I know I didn't shit. And I know probably Anna didn't shit.
I was told it was the pipes. Apparently, when you flush the toilet, sometimes we get a little...
Yeah, the Get Fresh crew didn't seal off those pipes, So it's venting the methane.
Shut the... Bubba, you got to talk to the crew. I mean, it's bad out there, right, guys?
Yeah, it's smoking us out back here. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah, see? I'm not going to send SpongeBob out there, but I could, you know. It's, whew.
How do you remedy that?
We got to bag those pipes or cover them with the proper PVC stuff.
All right, cool.
Shit, man. This is not good, Bubba.
This
is going to cost us a ton.
It's not going to cost us nothing. We'll get it handled.
Pipes these days to tighten them? It's
through
the roof.
Pipes these days to tighten them.
It's crazy.
I can do that, and I can wrap them in whatever the fuck they need to be wrapped. I can literally have Big Red to do it by later this afternoon.
You went from you can do it to Big Red's doing it today.
Me is you when it comes to Big Red.
Okay.
Red can have those things properly methane wiped and fucking swirled and tightened and everything. So
your poor guys are everybody's getting choked out around here.
I'm just saying we're trying to make downstairs a better place, are we not?
No, we are. It looks good. Let's kick a door out wide.
There's been lots of doors kicked out wide.
It's nice outside today.
You know, I haven't even been outside.
I mean, we got to start doing the show outside.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like how people broadcast from, you know, like wing houses and car dealerships.
So hold on, we're literally broadcast from out back and the planes come.
Yeah, and we're like, holy shit, man, it's a nice day and the weather will give us a different vibe and we'll put on a show like it never has been heard before. All right, that's just me, though, man.
Maybe just sit, like, in those two little, like, old-school, like, patio furniture gimmicks that I got, you know, over there by the car lift.
Yeah, out there by your Jiffy Lube that you got going on there.
And you hear the goats.
You hear the goats, the planes, the plane gas that we have to breathe in when it flies over, whatever they're dumping on our heads. It's there's a lot going on over here.
You know when they're taking off over here, they're dumping all kinds of droplets of fuel and shit.
Honestly, I'm very sensitive to those kinds of smells and all that. And a second a plane flies over, it's bad around here, just the whole area for like 5 minutes.
Really?
So, yeah, they're doing something
to us.
You
think we're going to get cancer?
Most likely from it, yeah. I mean, I think we should probably start getting the class action lawsuit going right now before we pass.
Did you talk to your mom about your brisk?
No, no. I only was texting with Brett yesterday. I did not talk to my mom about it, but she talked to my daughter, and everything was cool from what I heard. So
what do you mean she talked to you? Your daughter shouldn't even know.
Not about that. Like my daughter, you know, talks to her on the iPad and stuff.
So you're saying Mama Kush talked to little Sethy, but it wasn't Brisk related.
Yeah,
grandma to kid related.
Yeah, because I was like, what'd you talk to Nana about? And she's like, I don't know.
Her and Nana have party words?
No, my mom hates it. Does not like it.
The party words?
Which means that I always make sure that we get one off before I hang up with her. Yeah.
She might be like, effing bitch.
It's so funny. My mom, I know people that respect their moms don't cuss in front of them and all that.
First of all, I respect my mom more than anything in the world, and I talk like a sailor around
her. That's what I'm saying. Like, my mom is so horrified, but her and my dad cuss all the time.
Me and your mom used to get it, and she'd be like, that motherfucker.
Motherfucker?
Me and your mom would be into texting, and she, you know, she calls some people out.
That's a strong word, motherfucker. You mean like what people that used to be on the show?
I'm just saying, your mom has dropped the motherfucker bomb to me before.
I know.
She's dropped, you know, Seth is a stupid fucker game. You know, too.
I knew it. Yeah, I knew that was. I knew that was in
she
her.
She doesn't approve of all your movings.
Well, you know what? I don't approve of her. You know, disapproval. So fuck off. Not her. You.
Easy.
No. I mean, sorry.
Not me.
No. God. Okay. I'm just. Let me edit this out.
Even during keep all this in. But even during your transgressions and after
I went to jail, man. I just was trying to make moves. It didn't work out.
I know. Even when you flaked and quit, she was like, "I am so sorry."
Shut the fuck up.
I am not kidding you.
Oh man.
She was like, "You know what? I am so sorry because you and him," and it was always so very kind. She was like, "Oh my God, I've listened to my son's career, you know, all in the Tampa area, and I've watched him progress from Fisher and Boy to the Jade deal to Drew to you. I've watched, and I felt as if you and him gelled better than he's gelled with anybody else ever, and he fucked it up. Like, I can't believe he fucked it up."
Oh, man. Well,
she was, but you're back, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're back, and you're back better than ever.
I feel like it.
Right?
I ran into Thuggish Ruggish Nerd. You know him?
No.
Well, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Thuggish Ruggish Nerd. I was just walking around St. Pete getting some exercise on Saturday because everybody tells me in chat how fat I am. And I ran into Thuggish Ruggish Nerd standing outside a barber shop with his Bubba Army fucking tumbler or whatever. And then he was talking about how he didn't like me until he watched a video of us opening the cards. And he's like, "Then you won me over."
Well,
I was like, "That stupid shit won you over?" But basically what I'm saying is, Bubba is...
By the way, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I've gotten positive feedback from the Bubba Breaks. And it's way more popular than I thought. I had two dirt late model guys in here yesterday, Devin Moran and Tyler Erb.
I saw.
And they both, when the mics were off and I was walking them out, both of them were like, "You do breaks? You do breaks live?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Of course, I try to act bigger shot than I really am.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Fuck yeah, we do breaks. Fuck yeah."
They were doing it.
I'm like, "We got people buying teams and everything." They're like, "Fuck yeah, that's what we love that shit."
Really? Now they love like all sports. They just like the, because there's NASCAR. I mean, they got it all, Bubba.
No, I think they like all sports.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question about breaks?
Of course.
Now, are breaks a little seasonal in the fact that the sport that's
going? No, sir.
No, okay. So what I'm saying, like, you know, like right now, NBA and football would be and hockey would be the sports that are going on right now. So like, is the summertime, are the breaks more towards like Major League Baseball, or do you still, you know, break football?
It's more about when the companies release the cards. And I mean, they release, you know, Topps would release, you know, they'll release 50 different kinds of baseball cards this year. But what's happening right at this moment is football is very hot because a lot of football products have just come out, and basketball is very, very hot because this rookie class with Wembanyama just came out. Now, baseball is about to drop their new cards. Topps is about to drop their first series of baseball next Friday.
By the way, Macho Man, I'd like for you to say thank you to him because he remedied the pipe situation.
Oh, wow.
So it should be good.
Holy wow. That was good for him.
We're good on the methane now.
Thank you.
So Topps is coming out with a baseball gimmick.
Baseball's about to release, but if we're going to start doing breaks like over the next couple of...
I want to do them every Thursday.
All right, well, we'll do them. I mean,
I want fans to start sending us these things.
Well, we'll start doing that. Like that would be the ideal situation is to, you know, go live on Twitch or something, you know, on Wednesday or on Thursdays and, you know, to hang out and to do a few breaks, you know, do like 3 or 4
Why
breaks.
Why live on Twitch? Why not live on all forums?
We could go live on all forums. Yeah. I mean, it's just, we just have to monitor them all, you know, for people that are, you know, getting in the breaks, you know, however we do it. But,
I mean, like, I want to be live on Facebook. Yeah. I want to be live on Rumble. I want to be live on YouTube. I want to be live on Twitter. I want to be live on fucking YouTube.
Yeah, no, we can do that. That all works. I know Twitch is where a lot of breakers go. That's kind of where I learned about it. So if we were on there, people could just be, you know, skimming, looking for breaks. And
so tomorrow, the after show, the minute we do the regular show, we're going to do the break show. Right at 10:05.
With Babyface. Yes. Because he's going away for like a month, isn't he?
Well, and I'm going to, I leave for Ocala tomorrow. And then Lummy, you know, our breaks take 25, 30 minutes. And then Lummy and Rhett are going to do their sports show after our break.
Okay.
So we're going to use the studio just to tape our break. Or, you know what, do we go live? Do we go live or do we tape? What do you think?
We have the ability to... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off or jump in here, but we have the ability to do both.
You do?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the way we did it last time, we recorded it through Wirecast, so we'll have a 2-camera setup. If we do it live, you know, you'll have to... We can't cut anything out, but we didn't cut anything out of the last video, too, so...
Yeah, let's just go fucking live. Okay, let's do it live.
All right, fuck it, we'll do it live.
And I think that's less, probably, in my opinion, less stress for you, because you don't have to, at one time or another, stop it, then fucking launch it. I'm kind of thinking that maybe once it's live, it might be a little easier for you, potentially.
It is easier, because I get to set up the title and description and stuff beforehand.
Right, and you can be back here jacking your dick while, you know, we're doing whatever.
Exactly, like I usually do.
Right.
Yeah, let's let Toothy McJones know that we're going live tomorrow, just so, you know, he doesn't think that we're going to be editing out a bunch of his bullshit.
Who?
Toothy McJones.
who's Toothy McJones?
Babyface.
Oh. Why Toothy McJones?
Toothy.
Oh, Toothy McJones.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. No problem. Now, when do we get into, Seth, like, this guy just got a hold of us and he gave us $15 for all Cleveland Browns? Like, how does that work?
I mean, that's very easy. I mean, I actually, Thuggish Ruggish is a fan of the Browns. He's like, I'll take your Browns card. So,
but do you put a price on it?
Yeah, I've sold some of the cards that we had last time, Bubba.
By the way, you're in charge of all this, and I do trust you with money. I know you're very money aggressive, but you're also very money honest.
Yes, I am. I will tell you right now that from the last break that we did with the Donruss Blasters, Jay Gator bought about 5 cards from me. Brian Matroni told me to keep, you know, his third, because I know we're doing all thirds. So after shipping and eBay fees and all that, I have about $9 for
you. Yeah, but what I'm telling you is I want you to take my 9 and roll it into some more cards.
Okay, I can roll the 9 into about a quarter of a blaster.
I know, but can you roll your profits? If mine's 9, then yours is what?
Like, mine's 9 also.
Yeah, but so why don't you take your 9... Now, does Brian got a 9?
No, Brian gave me his third. He gave us his third for this one.
So his third broke down 2 ways, means 9 for me and 9 for you.
Yeah, $18.
Well, what will $18 get us?
It'll almost get us another blaster.
Well, how much is a blaster?
You know, between 25 and 35.
But do we have cards for a break tomorrow?
Yes. Brian bought some, and we were also got a big farmland. Shit, sorry.
Johnson's Farmland Island? Something like that? John's Farmland Island?
Is there a Bright Farm?
Bright Farm John's Island.
Yes.
Bright Farm John's Island?
Bright Farm John's Island, and then also Josh Newell from Twitter has sent in stuff.
Really?
Yes, and then Babyface has some. So basically,
So after tomorrow's break, you probably will be able to take that money and combine it with our 18 that we got now and buy us some more breaks.
Yes.
Josh Newell is big country.
Okay, and then maybe some people will send us. Now, Seth, the people wanted to send us these Master Blasters that you speak of.
I mean, you could buy us a Mega or a Hobby Box. I mean, you know, Blaster's just on the low end.
What's a Hobby Box?
A Hobby Box is where you get the good shit, man. Hobby Box is...
What's a Hobby Box cost?
Depends. It depends. I mean, a Hobby Box of the Donruss that we opened last week, about $275.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're guaranteed an auto. You get a lot of numbered cards. Like, you know, you're probably not going to make your money back unless you get some fucking crazy CJ Stroud or Anthony Richardson. But, you know, it's a fun product
to open. We had an Anthony Richardson.
We did. It sold for $15. That's what sold for $15.
Really?
Yeah. Jay Gator, man. Hell of a guy. Loves cards.
How about my Jordan stuff sell?
Jordan.
My Packer.
Oh, the Sean Clifford, the rookie quarterback they had this year, sold for $125.
Really?
Oh, yeah, Daddy.
Do you know that you cannot find my TNA card?
Why? Cannot... Somebody just sent me a picture that they bought it.
Well,
they said they heard us talking about it. They just bought it.
So you need to send it to, listen, everybody needs to buy Bubba Army TNA cards.
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
Everybody needs to buy Bubba TNA cards and send them to me so I have them all.
Well, why would...
And then I'll resell them. I'll get them graded and resold them and put them in them fancy little packs and sell them for like $50.
Man, all that comes up is Bubba Ray Dudley.
You can't, listen, there was a run. Somebody did a run on Bubba TNA cards. They're not, you can't find one. I've looked all weekend long trying to buy them all.
Have you been looking for your own cards?
To buy them all.
Oh, wow.
So I want to buy them all, autograph them, then get them graded, and then have them in those things, and then sell them. And there's only so many of them.
Oh, I know. Okay. Yeah, you know what? That's a great idea, actually.
Thank you.
It's a really good idea.
Because I think there's only about 400 or 500 of them floating around. I don't think they made a lot of them. Well, I think I got fired right when they are making them.
Even if they made a lot of them, Bubba, for people that, you know, would have kept them is probably minimal. So, I mean, there's probably a lower amount of them that are actually out there in population.
I was told that the company made less than 500 of them.
Well, that's not very many at all.
And if I can get them all, and we have them all, and then I sign them, and then we put them in those protective deals, and we listen. I've already sent 25 of them to the grading place.
You have?
Yes.
What grading place?
I can't tell you.
Did you? Why did you talk to Daniel Rose?
Yes.
Matt Riddle's guy?
Daniel Rose is doing all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, he's a good. Well, I mean, I talked to him I talked to him about cards when he was at Barb. Like, he kind of talked about doing some ideas because he said that I think essentially he's doing the same thing with Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle's gonna sign a bunch of cards, get them graded, then, you know, either sell them or just give them out.
Yeah,
have I said too much?
No. I'm trying to find Daniel Rose's number.
Okay. Oh, are you going to give him a call?
Yeah, I'm going to say, make sure you keep buying those fucking cards.
Did he find your other 25 TNA cards?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean?
No, I'm saying, you sent 25 cards off for grading. Did he find those online, or did somebody else have those and send them to you?
I don't know.
You're not even listening to me. It's okay.
Keep buying the TNAs. Hold on. TNA cards.
We got to get Matt Riddle back on the show.
So we owned them all. I got about 30 of them, Seth. And he sent me a Daniel Rose sent me 30 of them. I signed them all with a gold marker. And then gave me these little sleeves to put them in. And then another sleeve to put them in.
When did this happen since I've been back?
Yeah, it happened yesterday.
Yesterday? Dude, why are you hiding this stuff from me?
And so listen to me. So I signed them yesterday. I put them in this stuff. And then there's a self-addressed, like hard cardboard box that he had me put them in. And then put into another box. And they're going to this place where it takes like $20 to analyze it. And,
SGC? Are they going to SGC?
And $50 to, it's like a $70 fee.
To grade it?
To grade it, and I think to encase it.
He's sending it to PSA or Beckett then.
Yeah, I think it's Beckett.
Beckett or PSA, I know I talked to him. Those are very expensive to, you know, cards, especially.
So we're going
to
have probably like maybe 100 Bubba TNA cards that have been through Beckett, whatever that means.
Been through, graded, yeah.
And like and he said they're all going to, because the ones that he sent me were brand new. He said they're all going to be 9s and 10s. They're all going to be 9s and 10s.
Yeah, I believe that.
And so we hold on to them, and we continue to collect them until we own them all. And then they become super valuable, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, they're going to become very valuable right off the bat, Bubba, because as soon as they're graded, they would probably be the only Bubba cards in population that have been graded. So what happens is when you get something graded, it goes into, like, you know, they keep track of it forever. So it would become a population one. Like, so that would mean that there's only one of them out there. So when you start getting them all graded, let's say you have 25, the population of them will be 25, which means they are still the only ones that exist. Because if a card's not graded, essentially it doesn't exist if it's not in somebody's, you know, grading tracking system.
Right, right.
So as soon as you get them done, they're going to be the only ones that are out there,
so there
technically.
May only be like, it recognized 26 of them. There's
yes.
There's only 26 recognized of these. And if you have one, I mean, that's pretty, you know.
Yeah.
I think, I was really fucked up during BARP, but Daniel Rose started pitching this idea to me. I was like, yeah, sounds great. But then after I got into the breaks with you, it does sound pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I would have loved to have, like, filmed you signing the cards and everything like that. And then if you do some inscriptions on cards, it's worth more money, which I'm sure you just signed your name and all that. So just so you know for next time.
So what do you mean?
Just if you're like, hey, you know, fuck off or something. You just write it like it goes for more money.
For real?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of guys will, like, Webinyama, when he autographed his first card
ever. Tall.
Yeah, Webinyama, he goes, this is my first autograph ever. He wrote that on the card. So that the card just is fucking worth like 10 times more instead of, because he wrote that instead of just signing his name.
Really?
Yeah, that's how it works. It's,
what
I know
if
it's
I
wild...
sign something like, you know, I got a small cop?
Oh, my God. That would probably be the biggest one, the biggest sell you got.
Yeah. Well,
I'm serious. I'm not even joking.
I'm supposed to be getting like 6 or 7 more that I found on eBay.
Okay.
And I'll write something, you know.
Yeah, just write, whatever. Whatever you feel like. That's how it goes.
I like big tits.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Naughty, naughty.
I like big tits.
Okay. That's making me uncomfortable now.
So... What I saw in the kitchen, we have some cards, right? Those, is that what we're breaking tomorrow?
I think whatever Matroni brings. Yeah, I think Matroni's got a couple of good basketball products he bought. So he's got good basketball stuff. He's got football. I mean, he's got a few things that he's been buying. Because he loves a good deal, Bubba. So Babyface has been texting me. He's like, oh, I just bought 3 of these for $7. I was like, where the fuck did you get this?
Now, if we keep buying, you know, Babyface keeps sniffing out these good deals. We keep taking our profits and rolling them into more, you know, blasters and things like that. Eventually, are we going to hit? I mean, are we bound to hit a big one someday?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I got, like, for real.
Yes.
And
by
how
far.
And how do you get rid of these cars so quickly? You're like, are you like almost a mini broker?
I have an eBay. I just have an eBay account. It's got 1,200 5-star ratings. I've sold 2,600 items. So I put it up there. Sometimes I put stuff up for auction for a week, and sometimes I put stuff up there, you know, best offer. So, you know, sometimes I go low with my offers. I go low with my prices because I want to just get rid of the fucking cards, you know, and get, because I'm going to have new cards coming in. So, you know, I don't try to be greedy. So I sell a lot of cards.
So if you look up here in my thing, I put Bubba the Love Sponge TNA card, right?
Yes.
There's no, I mean, look, this is all Bubba other shit.
Bubba Dudley. Yeah. And Bubba Ross CDs.
Bubba Ross CDs, you know, on the chip, Ned.
Look at that, $16.75 for a Bubba Raw or best offer.
Yeah, I mean, oh, some of this shit, hold on. I found, and listen, Seth, there's no other radio personalities.
Here I mean, we go. Nobody's got goats.
No, but tell me right now how many fucking Mike Calta things are out there for sale.
I sure as fuck don't know.
I mean, look at this.
I don't know.
Look at this. This Ned shirt here, they're selling for $50.
Well, they're going to, it's probably been up for 5 years.
How about this one? 99, the 8-box set, $100.
What in the, is that, how much did you sell it for originally?
I don't know.
You don't even, okay.
I don't have any idea. I saw one of my die-cast. I did a die-cast car. Let me
see. Look, there's an autographed CD for $26.99. Autographed Bubba's Raw CD.
Yeah. Let me see. Look at this. There's this one that they're selling one of my die-casts for $126.
What's a die-cast? Is that like a car part?
Yeah. Hold on.
Holy shit. I can't believe I knew that.
Die-cast race car. I sold these one time. Hold on here. Where are they at? None of those are mine. God dang it.
Can I ask Sumo just a question real quick?
Yeah.
Sumo, did you see the video of us fixing my car, doing the oil and stuff?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
Is he on couch?
Yeah.
He's on couch.
Well, yeah, he's just sitting down there. He said he saw it. I just wanted to make sure that he saw me, you know, trying to be a man for once in my life.
Yeah.
Because he's a great car guy.
He is a good car guy.
He, like, buffed out one of my, when I got this in an accident, he buffed it all out for me. He said he just washed it off, basically.
He didn't buff it out.
He just literally
wiped it off. That's all he did.
What are you looking for now?
I'm looking for this diecast deal because I saw it yesterday, and I was like, "Holy shit, that's a lot of money for just little old me."
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of Bubba CDs up there.
I know. Now does it go to another pay? Here we go.
$149.99.
What's this? This is Bubba the Love Sponge signed.
Parentheses.
What's it say?
Howard Stern friend. That's how they're trying to sell it.
Fuck off, Seth.
No, it's just that's funny. I know it's cool, but it's funny. You're just Sponge to me, man. I don't care if you know Howard Stern or not. The fact that you know MJ is good enough for me.
I wish I could find my diecast race car deal.
I'll look for it. I'm on eBay all the time, man. I'll look for it today.
But I'm just telling you right now, there's the Bubba the Love Sponge TNA. Is it trading card?
Yeah.
Trading card. It's nowhere to be fucking found.
I think, honestly, once we talked about it a couple of weeks, I don't know what if it was a podcast or a live show, but once we talked about it, I think whoever was listening bought them up. Because there were a few on eBay, no doubt.
So I'm looking and looking and looking, and there's none available. None. You can buy a Bubba Wallace fucking card for $1.50.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Where does it?
Your cards are going to be very valuable once they come back. They're autographed. They're graded. I mean, you're in business. Whether you want to give them away, sell them, whatever. I mean, you know, it's something. It's something that I think would be great to have, especially if we do a bigger break, Bubba, and like somebody doesn't hit. We can give them like, you know, a free Bubba card.
No, why would we give them a free Bubba card? Well, when there's only 26 of them.
Well, it's. Well, I thought we were going to get more. I thought we were going to buy them all up.
I don't know how many we're going to get. I don't know how many we're going
to
end up with.
I mean, why? Somebody's got these somewhere. They're jerking off to them. Like, let's get them to the rightful owner.
Well, I understand that. But, I mean, maybe they're like, hey, I don't want to give them to Bubba because these things are going to be worth something someday.
Well, I mean, what if it's not worth...
We just fucked ourselves.
I mean, if it's not worth anything now, when's it going to be worth something? You know? Sorry. Is that rude?
No, I don't give a fuck.
Okay. Well, I mean, what's...
I just want to find my card.
I know. I don't think you're going to find it, though, Sponjo. It's all right.
I don't even think if you do a global search, not outside of eBay, like if I just go to Google, I think if you just even Google it, Bubba the Love Sponge TNA trading card. And I think they're made by, I forget who they're fucking made by.
Oh, shit. See, this came up, but it was sold for $2 on January 19th at 7:14 in the morning, probably when we were talking about it.
Look at this. TNA's. Here we go. Hold on.
That's the one I just clicked on, I think.
But see, there's none. There's none.
Boom. Right. They're sold.
So, okay, look at this. Another one. EAR. Oh, boom. They're sold. Like, when it doesn't give you. Now, look. Okay, boom. Oh, this is on Amazon.
Bubba, you autographed cards for TNA. Do you remember that? There's already there's autographed cards of you out there.
There are?
By TriStar, yeah.
No.
Yes, absolutely. It looks like there's 9 total cards.
Hold on.
And it's your it's your rookie card. They've got it as your rookie card.
What?
That's your rookie card.
What, can you send it to me?
Well, no, that's what it is. That's it.
This right here?
That's considered your rookie card, which is going to be your most valuable card by far.
I know, but I can't buy it.
I know, because somebody already did. That's how it works. I'm sorry.
Well, see.
Bubba, they made a lot of cards of you.
Bubba the Love Sponge. Total cards, 9. What does that mean?
That means they only made 9 of them.
No, that means... I can buy them, doesn't it?
If you find them, they're not selling them. It looks like that you already have cards that are in population, Bubba. It looks like that people have stuff that's graded of yours already.
What does that mean?
This I think this is a. It means that they're going off, like you're sending your cards right now to go off and get graded, and you know.
And people have already done that.
That's what.
So when they come back, when ours come back, will they include the ones that they've already graded and put that into the population number?
Yeah, I believe so.
So let's say they've already graded, you know, 40 of them. Okay.
Yeah.
And we send them 25. Then they'll say there's only 65 of these, population 65.
Yeah, well, no, there's normally a QR code on the back. You just scan that, and then it pulls up all the information
so
for you.
So when this says total cards 9, does that mean there's only 9 cards?
That's what it said. I believe it says for print run, it says 9. That means that's all that they made. It doesn't say that that's how many that are out. That's just all that
they
made.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got 25 of them, you know, at my apartment right
now.
Well,
Bubba, here's the thing. They made different kinds of your cards.
They did?
They made, you have autograph cards, you have like silver cards, you have regular cards. So it looks.
Where are you seeing this information?
I'm seeing this all just when I Googled you, when I Googled the card. And it came up, one of the sites came up, Beckett.
Oh, Beckett, and do I need to go to Beckett?
No, I'm taking.
I know,
care
but
of.
I want to see this information.
Okay.
Do I go, you know, I want to see what? Them. I want to see. Hold on, blowout card forums. Here we go. Oh, maybe they're talking. No,
that's okay. Where you buy. That's a spot you buy cards.
Blowout.
Yeah. Let's see.
I'm saying about Bubba the Love Sponge, Nature Boy, 20 pack.
All right, here I'm sending this. I'm sending you this link. Okay.
What are you sending it to me?
I don't know. I got an email. I don't have like an instant message or anything. You got your AOL pulled up, Big Daddy? I'm sending it right the fuck on over.
Do you got your AOL pulled up, Big Daddy?
Well, I saw I was really fucking you up before when you were looking.
Oh, I was trying to tell you let's not get into what I was trying to tell you. Okay.
You normally you have everything like written down. Normally, whenever you talk about money, you go to the pen and the pad. But this, like, your AOL really was fucking throwing you for a loop. Sorry about that.
It's okay. It's your AOL. I mean, your email has not came here.
Okay. Yet. Well, I sent it. Okay, it's sent.
It's probably. Oh, here you go, Seth Kushner.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's me.
And
there you go. Click on that right there.
Okay. Hold on. Seth Kushner, Beckett, Bubba the Love Sponge. I'll bring that thing over here so we can see it, and you can see that it's thinking.
See, like, there's the autograph.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. You don't even remember.
That's not, is that printed on the card or is that signed by me?
I would assume it's signed by you. I don't think they were doing a facsimile.
Well, because this is a different card than the one, this is a different, this they did different cards on me.
That's what the fuck I said 10 minutes ago. I said they did different versions of your cards that you didn't know. You just thought there was this one, but there's different versions of it.
What does that mean?
It means that instead of just one Bubba card, there's like 5 or 6 of them out there.
Oh, hold on. Shop now, and then let me see. Well, can I put 100?
There's only 9.
How do you know it's only 9?
I thought I saw 9 before when under it. It's why is it only charging you 95 cents?
Hold on here, because that's all I'm worth. Continue as a guest. Oh, well, like, we need to go to Beckett and buy all these cards.
You know what's funny is I sold a White Sox card over the weekend, and it was the player's mom that bought it.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, that stuff's happened a couple of times. Tanner McDougal. And then there was a kid that played for the Diamondbacks, Seth Beer, and his dad lived in Georgia and was buying all of his cards that I was selling. So I gave him a deal. Like, when I find out that it's their parents, I give them most of their money back.
You do?
Yeah, I just think it's right just to, you know, if a parent wants a kid, you know, a card of their kid, as long as it's not too expensive.
Update quantity. It seems like Beckett is the place to be, and they're only allowing me to buy one of my cards, and I want to buy 100 of them.
Well, you're getting off with only 95 cents right there. It doesn't even look like they're getting you on shipping and handling, so... I mean, how great is that?
I don't know. I need to get it. You know what? We need to look into this business.
Okay. Here. Well, I mean, it's a great business, especially when it's a side hustle, not your main business, doing cards. For real, it's a great fucking side. It's a great side business, man. Everybody, every breaker that I deal with does it, you know, as a side gig, and it's awesome to make extra money and, you know, do something that you love.
Now, are these the cards right here? This card. And then this card here is the back of that card right there.
Yes.
Now, but see, I don't see any other cards.
Well, I don't, Bubba, I don't know what people did when they got a Love Sponge autograph. These are from 2010. I mean,
these are already, you know, 14 years old.
Which means the chances of somebody holding on to those.
So look at this one. This one here, the 2010 TriStar TNA availability, zero.
Yes. And the price was 50 cents, and that RC next to your name means rookie card.
Oh.
That's the one that we want, your first year card.
But why is the other version of my cards not coming up? Just asking for a friend.
I just don't think people, they're front and center of people's collections is kind of what I'm saying. So I don't think that there's a lot of them online, because if they made a limited print run to begin with, then, like I said, you would have to have somebody be a huge fan of yours, multiple people, to have your cards either for sale or displayed somewhere. And the fact that they're not coming up means that, like, just somebody got one of your cards and just, you know, let it sit, threw it away. It's in their attic. I mean, who knows where it is?
Thanks for the great.
Well, I'm just, you know, I'm kind of just kind of being honest, you know, where you're saying you can't find these. So, you know, my apologies.
Oh, it's okay. Maybe I'm, you know, I don't know. I just didn't know that I did more than one. I just thought it was that one card with me on the front with a little microphone gimmick. I didn't know that there was other cards, and I think there might be one other. I might think there might be two total cards, and that second one probably is that I signed is the real rare one.
I would say, yeah, it looked like there was only nine of them. If anybody could find them, it's Daniel Rose.
Yeah, Daniel, buy them for us immediately, please, because we need them. So we can, you know, get. I mean, we need a side hustle, don't we, cousin?
Yeah, I think so. The podcast is, you know, it's working out well, but we need another one.
What's this right here that you sent me?
All right, so Commissioner Goodell had a press conference yesterday, and, you know, everybody...
You look sad there.
Well, everybody, this is a... I don't know if this is the one about streaming, where they ask him about streaming, and if, you know, if he's putting playoff games behind paywalls, and if the Super Bowl's ever going to be on a pay stream.
Good question.
Or if this is somebody else jammed him up. Somebody else asked him about a lack of African-Americans that work for the NFL Network, right. So...
I'm out of Kansas City. I've had dreams of maybe working for the NFL Network one day, but be that as it may, I know that you don't run the NFL Media Newsroom, but you do run the NFL, and they answer to you along with the 32 owners. As of this press conference, the NFL Media Newsroom still employs zero black managers, zero black copy editors, zero full-time black employees on the news desk, and your only full-time black employee.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Larry Campbell passed away over the weekend.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Now, Mr. Trotter, just Jim Trotter was not here, you know, for whatever reason. Over the last few years, I've asked you.
Long question, right?
Is the case. And for a league that has more than 60% African Americans that play the game, and I know that you're a man of conscience, how does knowing this sit well with you, you know, and after 2 years of being asked this question, why has there not been any change or any hirings in that area?
Well, I disagree completely with you. There hasn't been any change. I'm happy to get your data and share it with our people and make sure that we get an answer for you. I don't have all the data. I will tell you that the first time ever, 51% of our employees across the league, across the network, across all of our media platforms, not including players, are either people of color or women. First time ever. So,
and don't think that they didn't strategically come up with that number.
Well, he snuck in the women, if you know.
No.
A lot of people are saying he snuck in the women.
But you can. Women are just as valuable as an African American right now. I'm just saying.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how that
woman,
all works out.
Woman, black woman, white, black woman, black. As long as if you have an African American woman, that's a double whammy.
There you go.
That's big bucks, no whammies.
That's true. And I just wonder, Goodell. You know,
I think he answered it pretty damn good.
He's the villain, you know, in football. And you know, I just feel like it was just people just going at him from all angles. I just don't know if he was prepared for this yesterday.
I think he did okay.
He did, yeah.
He made, and there are areas where we still need to work, and we still need to improve. Whether it's offensive assistants or maybe people in our media newsroom. We will continue to do that and make significant progress as we have.
I think he owned the guy. I think a guy came up there for a gotcha type moment, and I think he owned the guy.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah, no. It's just a tough scenario. You know, when you start getting into that, but you know that's his job. That's why he gets paid $60 million a year, and he's probably going to fire. He's probably going into the NFL Network's boss's office today, going, "Why don't we have any black people?
Right.
Why was I not aware of this?
And why was I blindsided?
Yeah,
you know, right. Why did you put me in the crosshairs of this guy?
They're gonna have to hire that guy immediately who asked the question.
So Dan Quinn became the new head coach of the Washington Commanders. Is that their name?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you've heard all the drama about the guy that supposedly turned the job down.
No, tell me about it.
Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions.
Yeah.
They said that he was supposed to get the job and everything. And when they were on a flight, when the Washington brass, the owners, were on a flight to Michigan to go meet with them, his agent texted them and said that he didn't want the job. When they were in the air.
When they were midair.
When they were in the air, yeah. So a lot of people are upset at that guy, and then people are upset that, you know, that information got leaked. So they're saying that Washington's trying to smear Ben Johnson.
I'm going to give myself a little grace and allow.
Now, where'd this guy come from? Where was he from?
He was the Dallas defensive coordinator. He used to be the head coach. He was the head coach of the Falcons, I believe, when they had that fucking crushing Super Bowl loss to the Patriots. And yeah, that's it.
I'm going to give myself a little grace and allow.
Do you think can this guy do better than Riverboat Ron? You think?
Oh man, I don't know.
Does Washington have the talent?
Washington just hired Cliff Kingsbury. He used to be the coach of Arizona.
Right? Did he get fired?
He was the he got fired from Arizona a while ago. He was out at USC with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is from Washington D.C. And the Washington has the number 2 pick in the draft. So
and the Bears, are they showing any indication into either one moving back or two? Taking somebody else in Caleb.
All the indications that are coming out are that the Bears are going to take Caleb, which to me signals that shows that they're trying to drive up the price of the pick. What I think is that Washington would like to swap with the Bears, take Caleb Williams, the hometown kid, pair him up with his college quarterbacks coach, and you know go to town.
But at what cost?
At the cost of the next 5 years of their franchise. I mean, the Bears would take
No. What I'm saying is, what does that pick? What's the value of that pick? What type of take do the Bears get? Do they get next year's number one?
Yes. Yes, if Washington moves up from 2 to 1,
just one spot,
which it looks like it's just one spot, but essentially, like they still have to negotiate against everybody else that potentially wants Caleb Williams.
Right.
What it would look like right now is that you would get, you know, you would do a pick swap this year. The Bears would get Washington's second round pick, which they don't have
this year.
This year, they would get a 2025 first round pick, and then I've seen stuff about a potential 2026 first round pick, which I think is kind of crazy. But
I think you could roll in a potential 26 pick. Based on on performance benchmarks if Caleb, you know, plays and, you know, wins X amount of games or passes for X amount of yards.
Yeah, you could work that in.
You could say, okay, you know what, his pick also becomes a number one 26 pick if he takes 65% of the snaps or something like that.
Because I believe it was for Aaron Rodgers this year, I think his pick got upgraded from like a second to first if he played a certain amount of snaps.
Yes,
which,
it was 65%.
Yeah.
He would be, it would have been a first rounder. And since it was, you know, 0.01%.
Yeah, the Packers, yeah.
Yeah, since it was four plays, the Packers get a second rounder instead of a first. So here's Dan Quinn, the new head coach of the Washington Commanders.
I'm going to give my
formerly defensive coordinator from the Dallas.
Yes.
And then before that, the head coach of Atlanta.
I believe so.
A little grace and allow one swear word here because I've done a good job so far. I haven't had any. And I swear a lot. But there is nothing I enjoy more than doing hard shit with good people. And these guys here, they're some really good people. I'm going to give myself a little grace.
All right. I mean,
I like that. I haven't heard that before. But
I like,
you know,
doing hard shit with good people.
Yeah.
I like it, too.
Yeah, it's nice.
So yesterday was media day, was it not?
What a fucking circus, man.
Was it?
I can't believe they still make these guys do this shit, man.
And they set up little booths all around the field, and each guy's got his own little booth, right?
Well, I mean, the superstars have booths. The rest of the guys, they're kind of just hanging out.
The long snapper doesn't have his own booth, right?
Oh, God, he's like basically sitting in the stands, you know.
The long snapper isn't even allowed to media day.
No, I mean, you know who's interviewing the long snapper? It's just like some fucking jobber from, you know, Idaho who's...
Got a podcast
somehow.
2,200 fucking followers.
Yeah, somehow got a credential and snuck in there and has, you know, struck up a big friendship with a long snapper.
Right,
now.
Right. Of course, everybody gravitated to Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I mean, you have, yeah.
I'm talking right now, that's it. I'm talking right now. That's it.
Did you hear him?
No. What was your best?
They go, "What's your best Kermit?" Everybody says that he sounds like Kermit the Frog.
Right.
So somebody goes, "Give us your best Kermit the Frog imitation." And he goes, "I'm talking." So here it is. What is your best Kermit
the Frog impression? I'm talking right now. That's it.
People are always making fun of his voice.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all they got?
That's all.
No, your dad got popped for his third DUI in Texas. None of those questions?
Man, I didn't see that. You didn't see that? No.
And since it's his third time, he might spend 10 years in jail.
I'm saying I didn't see anybody ask him about it, but I did see that happened, which is just, I mean, his family, man. And I know that he's kind of turned into a villain in the NFL right now because he complains a lot, but, man, his family is really doing everything they can to derail his career. Between the brother who is facing charges that just got dropped or his dad that's facing possible jail time the week of the Super Bowl, I mean, holy shit. Pull it together.
Now, what's up with... What's up with the Taylor Swift? Is she going to, because you're a Swiftie, one. And two, doesn't she perform in China or Japan or something like that?
Japan, yeah.
And she literally has to take her, you know, G650. Soon as she gets, like, she literally has to leave from stage to get in the plane to make it here in time for the game.
That's basically it, yeah. But with what was broken down, I mean, if she left right away and did all that shit, she would get to Vegas by 8 a.m., which I don't think she has to be there that early. So she had, I mean, it's going to be tight. That's where you feel fame as a shit, Bubba. You perform in Japan in front of God knows, I mean, who knows, 60, 70, 80,000 people.
Like five sold-out shows, too.
Yeah, five sold-out shows. The last one, you hop on a flight, boom, you're going to go see your new boyfriend playing the fucking Super Bowl, probably her first Super Bowl ever. I mean—
And you know as soon as she lands, she's got full police escort.
Well, you have to.
She might even helicopter if the airport's too far from the stadium. They could even helicopter her over to the stadium.
Well, I mean, think about it, Bubba, too, coming off the Grammy Awards where she just won, what, another four? I mean, she's breaking all these records, and I mean, now she's going to go see Travis Kelce. It's just, it's a nice little side story for people that are into that. I know people want to just focus on the dudes with the tight pants and all that shit, but, you know, there are always the extra frills that come with the Super Bowl. Usually it's the commercials.
But how cool would have been if the Super Bowl would have incorporated her into the halftime.
They asked her a long time. She rejected it this year.
Yeah, no. She rejected it before she was fucking Travis Kelce.
She wouldn't have done. She would not have done. There's no way she'd be performing, right? Like if they asked her next year to perform, there's no way she would do it.
No.
I think that if she was still with Travis Kelce, she would not insert herself into the NFL anymore because she already knows the attention that it's causing, and I don't think she would want to bring any more onto it. Because I think, Bubba, I also sent you something of them completely booing the shit out of Travis Kelce yesterday at Media Day, which also signals that it's going to be a lot of 49ers fans at the game.
Yeah.
They booed the shit out of him, man.
I initially thought that I didn't like this, but I think as a brand, as the NFL being a brand, this is so good for your brand to have the most popular person on the planet, you know, dating one of your high profile, you know, Super Bowl bound players. I think it's all good, right?
I mean,
I don't give a fuck how many times the NFL, you know, during the game, they're never going to go, you know, mid play and shoot up to the box. But after, you know, Travis Kelce would make a big stop, or after the Chiefs potentially,
yeah.
I don't have a problem with them showing her. I don't have a fucking problem with it at all.
Somebody pulled up the other day about, they're like, hey, a lot of you guys were too young to remember that they used to show Jessica Simpson all the fucking time,
yeah,
back when Tony Romo was playing, and everybody's like, they never showed her that much, and there's literally thousands of all these screenshots of her just sitting there in like a pink number 9 jersey. So I mean, it's just what happens. Like, it's I want to see happy people. Like, if somebody does something good, I want to see how their family and friends react. If you have that, whether they're famous or not, like, I don't care if the fucking Kadarius Toney catches a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl, I would like to see his family, his baby mama, his auntie, I would like to see them celebrate it. I don't know who the hell they are. Sorry.
No, I think it's great.
Seth Override.
No, I was reading Daniel Rose's synopsis on this whole deal.
Yeah, what'd he say?
He said, well, I don't know if I should say
okay.
on the air.
Okay,
know,
all right. Is it a good synopsis or bad?
Yeah, good.
Okay, all right. You guys talk about this story today?
What this? Well, yeah, we did a little bit, but I'm a little worried about all the groupies that used to suck my dick.
About
and, you know, and like, you know,
saying what, you rape them.
Yeah, like, I mean, what would stop some girl? So yeah, you know, I was 19, I went down to the Power Pig, and it was No Panties Thursday, and I showed Bubba my pussy, and then I sucked his dick in one of the offices.
Well, I mean, you
like,
know,
what would be like, what would stop some chick from saying that?
I mean, nothing. I'm assuming, but he did, you know, he did go to trial, right? He was found guilty, so you know, whatever it was, they seemed to, you know, put up more evidence than just you know, hearsay.
Yeah, I don't think, like, you know, they're. Yeah, but you don't, you know, that this is Tampa, and I don't usually get a fair shake. You know, they like to trump me up or let people fuck with me and basically go unscathed.
I don't think
that
they're going to bring you up on any rape charges, Bubba. I think you're good. I think you're good right now. I have, though.
With this guy here, though, I think the Scientology is what did him in, because these girls actually reported to the Scientology. They were Scientologists, and
yeah,
they actually reported and documented it as it happened. You know, like if a girl, now back in 1993, if a girl went to the Tampa PD in 93 and said, I sucked Bubba's dick and didn't want to.
Yeah, now pay attention to this guy forever.
Yeah, no. What I'm saying is, if there was that sort of documentation, that would have been flushed out by now, and I'd done been arrested. You know that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Sure. So
I've thought about
probably all the groupie dick suckings I got was all, you know, consensual.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And those
and
women
I got
are
a lot, too. Jesus.
Oh, man.
Every night.
That's.
I'd get my dick sucked every night.
That's really
by
hot.
By a different chick.
God, I wish I was
just
there.
Just sucking my dick.
Oh, that's how they do it.
I didn't even like to fuck back then. I just like to get head.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to do anything. You just sit there, and it's
right.
Pretty cool.
And I'd be like, just suck that dick. And then they'd suck it. And then I'd usually blow in their mouth.
Oh, my fuck.
And then the bathroom, BJ's office was literally right across the hallway from the girls' bathroom. They'd go in there, you know, wash themselves up a little bit. I'd go wash my dick. And then I'd go back on the air, and I'd let them sit in the studio for a break or two so they felt that they were real cool. And be like, you know, Bubba Love Spawn saying hi to Susie from Carrollwood. Meanwhile, she's sitting right there, and she just sucked my dick.
Oh, wow, man.
And then she'd go home, you know, with my fucking dick breath on her breath. My dick on her breath.
Holy shit, man. If I honestly... Even
it should have been my new album, My Dick on Your Breath.
If it was consensual, I would still file rape charges against you immediately.
Right.
If I was one of those poor girls
there
from Carrollwood.
This girl named Jessica, and we called her Basketballs, because she has these big fucking tits. And literally, I had a standing... Every Wednesday night sucking at 9:30. Like, she would come by every 9:30 on Wednesday night and suck my dick.
Why? What did she get out of it?
She's sucking Bubba the Love Sponge's dick.
Okay.
And then I had another one, Heather the Vibrator Girl. She would come in on usually Tuesdays, and she'd suck my dick. And then she'd suck some of my boys' dicks.
Jeez, what a guy, man. You're a hell of a dude. Is that any of that stuff happening at the racetrack at all? Are there you got any groupies over there?
There's no pit lizards.
There's nobody. There's
They're
no
called pit lizards. There's only one guy I know that has a pit lizard, and I can't talk about it right now.
There's no pit lizards like looking through the chain link fence, just looking all sad and horny.
No, there's only one pit lizard I know, and she's done enough damage.
Okay,
so I'm not going to do. I'm not going to talk about that.
Well, okay, but if
did you in your radio career ever get did you ever get any groupies to suck your dick?
No.
Now, I know you have to backtrack as to how long you've been with Phoebe, but prior to Phoebe, I mean,
I don't know if you would consider this a groupie. At the radio station, when I was actually on the air.
And really popular as boy?
Well, I mean, I was.
Were you most popular as boy?
At 97X? I don't know. Who the fuck knows, man? Yes. But I
would say you were more popular as boy or as popular as Seth when you were part of Drew's show.
No, Seth with Drew was mega.
Okay.
That was way mega.
All right, so we'll establish that as your stardom.
Yes.
The highest level of stardom at Cox.
Yes, that was it.
During that, you didn't have some girls, waiting downstairs to suck your dick?
Come on, Bubba. We were on
Bubba,
it's an alternative station.
It's a valid question. It happened to me every day.
What do you think? Women are listening to Green Day going, I got to go fuck the guy that's playing this? I mean, I don't think that's not what happened.
Because you guys weren't able to be personalities. But I'm talking about when you were able to be a personality with Drew, there wasn't any dick suckers.
Nobody wanted to suck my dick. No one's ever sent me a nude picture.
I guarantee you, Drew got a lot of dick suckers.
Without a doubt, I would assume so. He likes a good dick suck. So I would put Drew in that category.
John Cena gets
No. He loves his fiance.
Oh, see,
wife. I think they're married. Yeah, they're married.
Please understand, I did not know that he had a significant other.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Mrs. Senning.
Oh yeah, Mrs. Senning's been there for a long
time. Is she pretty hot?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I got accused of staring at her boobs one time.
Was Drew's first wife that he's divorced from now? Was she hot?
Yes.
Yeah, I always kind of remember. When he first started it in 2012, middays, upon my suggestion to Keith Lawless.
Yes, yeah, he was doing two shows. He was doing the Morning X with me and then running over and doing In Your Face with Drew Garabo.
And if I remember right, his wife was like, had maybe dark hair, and she was hot as hell. But I heard she was full-blown fucking absolutely insane.
There's some stuff that happened along the way.
Right.
And I think you've even talked about it on your show, I believe, when I worked with Drew.
Was it in a mean-spirited way?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
Drew, I'm sorry.
I believe there were some Manson songs about it and all that stuff.
Oh, really?
You called him one time. You left a voicemail. I played a song for him. It was like 3 minutes long, trying to get him to call you.
Now, is this when I was doing mornings for them, or was I the
competition? No, you were done.
I was on 98.7?
98.7 or after that,
right,
yeah.
Right.
So, but yeah. Yeah, no, I think everything's cool. I think everything's cool. Can I just say what I wanted to tell you? I didn't have any dick suckings when I was on the air, but when I worked overnights at 97X from midnight to 6 a.m.
Now you'd get some vampire goth bitches then.
There was one girl that I would like. I never even had sex with her, but she came up to the radio station and we were like making out and like maybe she was like naked or had her shirt off, and then Ford Prefect, who was fucking working in promotions, they kept the van keys in the studio. So he gets back from a remote. It's a Saturday night at like 1 a.m.
And turned the van keys back in.
He goes
and you got her fucking titties hanging out.
Yeah, and he walks in. He walks in, looks right at us, and turns around and goes, "I didn't see anything." And then he just fucking walks out.
If that would have been the power pig, I would have said, "Well, first of all, Guido and Cowhead wouldn't have let you in the studio." And then second of all, I would have said, "You like what you see around here, buddy? Get the fuck out of here as fast as you can before I tell a fucking BJ to fire you, you stupid fuck."
Well, I mean, I was...
You know better to come in here. I'm getting some fucking head from a groupie, and you're walking here with some fucking promotional keys. Get the fuck out of here, bitch.
I think there was some dry humping going on. That was probably... But I did enjoy that back in the day, and I wish more adults would do that. But,
I don't know if there are radio groupies anymore.
Oh, there's not. No. There's not. Well, you don't have any women waiting through, at the gate for you when you're done here?
Well, I could if I threw it out there.
Throw it out.
Well, no, I can't. I got the merch correct.
I know. Well,
she'll shoot him.
Well, I mean, she's dealt with your transgressions before.
Let's not go there.
I listened to the roast. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, you know, it was right out there.
I know,
I'm
but
not
I mean,
saying any, you know.
I'm just saying, yeah, I've fucked up a little bit here and there, but I'm staying true. I'm staying true to the game this time.
You horny bastard! Did you watch the new episode of Curb? It came out on Sunday.
No, I did not.
All right, get on it, dude. I know you're fucking busy as shit, but
is it funnier than fuck?
It's funny, and it's the last season ever, man. So.
I know. So is he really going over the top?
Well, he did a whole fucking basically the first episode's a playoff of Donald Trump getting arrested and stuff for I don't know what was he charged with in Georgia, voter fraud, all this, whatever.
Right, right.
I don't pay attention to politics, but yeah, he kind of spoofs Donald Trump in this one. So it's great, man. I'm looking forward to the last season.
How many? 10 episodes?
I don't know. They did like 11 or 12 last year. So, you know, they don't put them all up at one time with this one. It kind of goes through the season. So there's only one up right now.
Will it be one a week, you think?
Yeah. It's one a week. Yeah. It's one a week. Yeah. And then I'm forever.
I'm going to have to watch it in between watching Lucas at East Bay on my Fire Stick.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. And then you got is Tony Stewart like coming on today?
Today he's supposed to be here at 1:30.
That's great.
So I'm just going to maybe in Clem Kush here relatively soon.
Yes.
Take a little bit of a break. Then I got a guy named Ben Shelton that comes about 12:15, and we'll talk Flow Motorsports.
Yeah.
And then Tony's supposed to slide in here at 1:30.
I like that.
And we'll talk about Flow and the pro drag race, pro super sport all-star extravaganza Bradenton Motorsports. Big ass dragster show, you know, drags are having this weekend.
What about, can you just ask him about the monkey for me?
What?
When he had the monkey?
Ask Tony?
Yeah, I'd love you.
If you got any, ask Sumo, by the way, Sumo's mic's on. Sumo will tell you about that fucking monkey. His name was Mojo, and he was a piece of shit.
I know. Well, Sumo told me about the monkey.
Fucking Sumo, I tell you one thing, Sumo fucking sad. God damn, I'm just going to tell you right now, you had to show the monkey who the fucking boss was or he'd done bite you. And so that fucking monkey jumped on Sumo one time. Sumo had it in a full-blown Undertaker fucking chokehold. He did. And that monkey would fucking just bounce everywhere. Like, if that monkey was in here, he'd go jump on that TV, and then he'd go jump on that fucking light, then he'd go jump on your hair, and then he'd go jump back on that light. Sumo, am I lying?
And he just got it. Tony just got it because he was rich and bored, right?
Sumo, you there?
Sumo, yeah, what's Here, Sumo, come over to this mic right here. Come over to this one.
No, let Sumo talk to him differently.
Yeah, Sumo, he'll tell you.
I think they got her. I thought the couches were fucking Anna, and everybody's all worried about somebody talking else into their fucking microphone. Everybody's so microphone fucking possessive around here that supposedly the couch microphone is supposed to be working, but it's not.
No, he's on Anna's mic right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there
okay.
You go.
There, Sumo, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Now Sumo has all kinds of Mojo's fucking stories. Oh, by the way, we're on a podcast, stories, so nobody can see us.
Krista, actually, his girlfriend's the one, I think, wanted the monkey, and it was really small, and it was cute, and she treated it like her baby. She took care of it for many years, but he, you know, she had bad decline in health, I think, and a little bit.
And that monkey was a fucking handful.
And that monkey got to be where he was a handful.
And he got to be like from 2 to 3 pounds to like 25 pounds, right?
I mean, he was just ounces when they got him. You could hold him in the palm of your hand.
Right.
Like 90 pounds now.
Yeah, you go. All right, yeah. Now what was the, you told us when you were here a couple of weeks ago, Sumo, what was the big showdown that you had with the monkey where you really had to fucking show him who was in charge?
I think it was either on the bus or on the plane. Which one was it?
I was on the bus the first time. I mean, it was the first time I really seen him, you had to have a showdown with him immediately.
Yeah, he would.
He would choose. You know, it would be five or six people would show up, and he would choose who he thought he could be alpha on, and he would attack them.
He would, like, for real. He would attack Seth. He would. There'd be five or six guys go on the bus, and he would size the motherfucker, the weakest link, and he'd go after you.
Was he in a cage or what?
No.
He was loose.
Oh, geez.
So, man. Sumo, tell us about. So
what he would do is he'd size you up, and he would set back, say. You know, he would be sitting back here behind us, and he would wait until you really wasn't expecting it, and then he would jump you from behind. And he would get you by the back of the neck and start biting you in the back of the head.
Oh, my. Is this, like, for playing around, or he was serious?
No, serious.
He was trying to show you.
He's trying to show you that he's meaner than you.
Right.
And the whole time you're swatting at him, he's so fat, you can't get him. I mean, he was...
But when Sumo finally got his fucking mitts around him, Sumo, you damn near fucking choked him out, did you not?
No, I didn't. I really never even choked him. I basically held him down on the floor with my fingers around his throat like he was getting choked, but never choked. Just
hold on. With my fingers around his neck like he's getting choked.
Well, I mean,
.. But he wasn't getting choked.
Okay, his neck's probably only as big around as my thumb, so
right.
I've got him just basically pinned.
Right.
He can roll around and spin and do
but,
all
but
that.
But he can't get away
he
from
can't
the
get away.
The U-clamp that you got him against a wall.
I'm not really hurting him, so to speak. I'm more just holding him.
And showing him.
And showing him that he can't, you know, I'm alpha on him.
Right.
And that's all you had to do.
Now, if you did that, now, did you only have to do that one time?
No, he'd test you again. He'd test you again.
Not that same day, though.
Oh, no. It'd be months down the road. He'd grow up a little bit, and he'd test you again.
How about Gooch?
I don't know how many times he tested Gooch, but Gooch is the one that told me that's what I need to do, hold him down like that.
Yeah, so listen, Seth, you know how kind of anxiety you get over just somebody getting your fucking sandwich wrong. So can you imagine if Tony invites us on his bus, right? And he goes, hey, sit down. And next thing you know, they pre-warn you, the driver, the guy who runs the bus, Gooch, says, I just want to let you know that this little monkey is going to be jumping on your back and you need to choke it out and show it who's boss or it's going to make you your his bitch.
Well, Gooch told me that because he likes me. Most people he wouldn't even say that to. He'd just let them get...
Bit.
I would think it was a joke if somebody told me that.
Now Sumo, did the bites hurt? I mean, was it like a...
You know, a lot of times he did more of pull at the back of your collar or, you know, at your hair. Sometimes he'd lay it on you, though.
Sometimes he'd lay it on you. Now, if you had, like, you know, when you got him in that infamous choke hold that you didn't really choke, just your two fingers around the willy, would he go, like, would he scream and holler or, like, you know...
More so his canines at you.
Oh, he'd show those canines at you.
I don't know if they call them canine, but he'd show
those
his
big,
teeth.
He has those fangs.
Fangs. He has some really...
What a nasty fucking monkey.
Would he have a diaper on?
Yeah, you had to cut a hole in a baby diaper and pull it up.
Wear
a diaper. For his tail.
For his tail?
Oh, come on.
For real.
Yeah,
you had to do it.
Hold on, listen to this.
They would cut a hole in a diaper, and some, you know, it was... When he was small, one of them could do it, but it usually took two to hold him down and pull his tail through there and get that diaper on him. He wasn't into changing the diaper.
Oh.
He didn't mind it. He didn't tear it off once it was on, but he wasn't into changing it.
Yeah, that's just having too much money, being too rich, and being too bored. Because then I think eventually Tony's like, I got to get rid of this thing because he's getting to be
Krista absolutely wouldn't let him. She kept the monkey. They split up, and Krista had him for years. And she finally, I think, had to get a hold of Tony or something and say that I can't take care of him.
And he's in the Louisville.
Like I said, no, he was in Louisville. I think he's in Houston now.
He got shipped to Houston?
Yeah, he's been in Houston for a while.
You think it might have been like a bad primate, you know, exchange where they, you know, they...
I think he had, don't quote me on this number. I think he had 46, maybe 36
attacks.
Offspring.
Oh, hold on. He had what? He was a fucking monkey.
Fucking Philip Rivers.
Yeah, so I mean, basically, you know, I think that's kind of the deal. Then after Louisville, you know, he's done spread his seed there. They took him to Houston.
Spread it in Houston.
Yeah.
How long do these monkeys live?
Oh, they live to be.
It's a Patus monkey. PATUS, I believe it is.
Okay.
It's the fastest primate on earth.
Alexa, how long does a Patus monkey live?
From Answeri.com. In the wild, platypuses typically live around 10 to 15 years, with males generally living slightly shorter lives than females.
Alexa, shut up.
Platypus.
It's a Patus.
Patus. Okay. Hey, Alexa, how long does a Patus monkey live?
Here is an answer from an Alexa Answers contributor that I translated. 30 years.
30 years. So, Sumo, he's still around.
Oh yeah,
he's probably
down on the weighing end of it.
Can you imagine he's sitting around with all his monkey friends, telling them that he used to work with Tony Stewart?
He doesn't fucking know.
he's like, how the fuck did I end up at the Houston Zoo?
He's got his fucking Tony Stewart Nitro shirt on because he's Tony's dragon nowadays. Mojo's pulling for him. Any monkeys that are pulling for John Forrest are getting their ass whipped.
His monkey's like, guys, you don't know how good I used to have
now,
it.
Now let me ask you a question, Sumo. Do you think that because Tony spent so much time with him and was like kind of his dad growing up, do you think like if Tony went to the Houston Zoo and went up to Mojo, do you think Mojo would remember him?
For sure, 100%.
For real. And would he have anxiety if he saw you roll up in there? Like, oh, that's the motherfucker that choked me out.
No, he would remember me. I'm certain of it. He was very smart. He was very smart.
Didn't you say sometimes, Seth, they would just take off in the plane, and when you first take off, it's very crucial, like the very, you know, various buttons that you hit and shit like that. And he would just, and you couldn't, like, he would just boing, boing, boing. Like he would just jump everywhere, and he would jump into the cockpit, and Bob.
And the cockpit, supposed to have that closed.
Well, no,
Bob wouldn't hold him down and show that he was alpha. So he liked to attack Bob, and he wore a collared shirt, and he would jump up on the pilot's back, you know, while he was flying, and start attacking him.
Yeah, right when he's rotating.
And even worse than that, you know, on the dash, they got all these switches and round things, and he was obsessed with
switches,
pencils, and straws and things like that. He really liked that for toys. You know, he was obsessed. He'd look at them for hours. Well, those little white deals that they pushed, the rubber deal that they pushed over those switches, he would pull those off and start flicking switches on the dash while we were in the air.
Yeah, while you were in the air. They're at 32,000 feet, and the fuck mojo's up fucking hitting switches. And they could turn a motor off at any time.
I would have thrown that motherfucker overboard at that point. I mean, this is not funny. Fuck you with the pilot.
What would Tony do? What would
Tony
do? Tony
would go to sleep, and, you know, he would mojo. So would Mojo, would brave mojo and sneak
would,
off.
Would
and,
Mojo know this? My dad's asleep. Now I can be naughty.
Yes, and he knew the plane, him and the little dog that went with us, Kaylee. We had a chihuahua.
I remember Kayla.
Could come out of the FBO, and they would run to the plane. They knew what plane.
But yeah, they knew.
That's an ugly-ass monkey, by the way.
Would Mojo and Kaylee ever get into it?
Oh, yeah, he would attack
He'd try to
her.
Ride her, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would jump on her back. He would pick her up by the tail or the leg and just swing her around the top of his head like...
Like a helicopter.
Like a helicopter or a rag.
Fucking Mojo.
Wow, so a monkey would bang a dog in the wild?
I think so. I think Mojo fucks anything it can.
I mean, he didn't do that. I mean, like I said, he would just be mean to her. He would just pick her up by the tail.
Sumo's like, easy. He's not a rapist here, you know?
He's not the guy from the 70s show.
Krista had a couple dogs. She had a like an English bulldog and I don't know what the other little one was.
What if a monkey gets a dog pregnant?
They weren't real little dogs. They probably size of Bella, and he would get up on the top stairs and sit on the rail and wait till they come underneath, and then he would Superman down on them and land on their back and just grab them with all four where they couldn't shake him off, and he'd go for a buck and blue
on
the dog.
Like he was a fucking pig.
And the dogs got smart, and they'd start running underneath the coffee tables and try
and
to
knock
just
him
ram
off?
Him into him. I mean, it was great
hey,
to watch
Seth,
it.
We would be multimillionaires if we had footage of this. And that we could put up on social, right? Mojo, the fucking mad-ass monkey.
Without a doubt. I mean, I don't think it's too late.
And he jumps from the top of the stairs. He supermans onto the back of these fucking bulldogs, rides it like a bucking bronco, and then they run under a table, and he comes smashing off.
Did this guy ever ride shotgun in one of Tony's races or anything like that?
Who?
Fucking Mojo.
No, but...
Bubba did.
Let's not talk about that.
You did?
Well, during testing...
That's kind of slow a man down, isn't it?
Well, you know, they wanted me to get in, and I said, nah, I'll pass.
Because you knew the Iggy.
Well, Bubba jumped at the opportunity.
So they were testing at Lakeland, Seth, when Lakeland had a track, and it was kind of similar to Martinsville. So they would go and test, you know, Lakeland to kind of get some Martinsville notes. Well, at the end of the test, they would always, like, if there was somebody who didn't know the Iggy, they would say, hey, do you want to get in the passenger side? Now, the passenger side's just this big hollowed out piece of, you know, like floorboard with the gas line that goes,
just hanging there.
You're sitting right beside the gas line and on top of the header. So they would put like a heat blanket down because the header is right underneath you, and then you'd hold on to one of the posts, one of the A posts or something like that, and they would give people rides, you know, people, friends of Tony or sponsors or things like that, but not just little, like not just, you know, first, second gear ride, just kind of taking easy. They would go full blown fucking race trim mode, and I had no helmet, shorts. Hanging on to a fucking just one little bar, and Tony's going full up to the wall, you know, getting like within.
You're scared?
No, I'm just like a little bitch. In fact, I'm holding on, and he goes, "Say you're a bitch. Say you're a bitch."
Oh my goodness!
And I'm like, no. And he goes, "Say you're a bitch." Finally, like, "I'm a bitch. I'm a bitch. Please stop. Stop." He'd be drifting it out to the wall, getting it loose. And I go, so we pull off. And I go, "Listen, motherfucker, that wasn't funny. You know, what if you would have spun out and hit the wall?" And he goes, "I don't spin out. Only other people spin me out. But I don't spin out on my, you don't ever see me spin out on my own." Hell, as long as you've known Tony Stewart, Sumo, have you ever seen him spin out on his own? I think I've only seen him spin out on his own one time.
I'll tell you how rare him spinning out on his own is. He spun out one time at Darlington when he was about to get lapped and brought out the yellow. And he avoided getting lapped. And they accused him of spinning out on purpose.
Oh, so he spins out so not often that when he did spin out, they blamed him for doing it on purpose so that he wouldn't get lapped.
Yes.
There was one Daytona 500 that I went to, and it was when he was in the 14 car, that he spun out coming through turn four. And I think somebody took aero off his car or something like that. It was one of his last Daytona 500s. Would have been like, maybe, I don't know, what was his last year? 16?
I'm not sure. Probably 15, 14,
I think he spun out. And I'd never seen him spun. I don't know if somebody nudged him or.
Well, that super speedway stuff, that's, you know.
So aero specific.
Looking back at it and thinking about what you just asked, probably 85 or 90% of his wrecks were at super speedways, you know. And that is like, that goes back to what he said, that the other people out there has a part in that. He probably would have won Daytona one time in the 20 car. Him and Kurt Busch were definitely head and shoulders above everybody. They were drafting and going away from the field, and Tony got under the yellow line. And when he did that, he got really loose up in the corner, and Kurt hit him, took them both out.
And that was the, and that's the one thing in his career that, I mean, that he pisses probably him was off win the most. Don't you think? He never won Daytona. Like, that's the one. That's the one that, thing
that's got him. And I think Indy's probably more of a burn on him than anything.
Yeah, because he
only led 100 laps at Indy and had a one lap lead, and his motor blowed.
Yeah.
He had a one lap lead halfway through the race at the Indy 500.
I mean, he blew his motor.
Man, that's a sensitive subject that you got to talk to him about today, Sponjo.
Only if Sumo's here to bring it up.
No, that's not really a sensitive subject. He'll talk about it. I mean, it's not, but you're talking about a race that, you know, he missed. That's the two, Daytona and the Indy 500.
What about
but he did win the 400 there. He won the 400s at both places.
Hold on. So. I think he's the second most winningest driver at Daytona.
I believe he might be tied.
He's either the second winningest or he's tied with Dale Sr.
Yep.
On, like, he won the July race, I don't know how many times, and then he won the Clash, I don't know how many times.
Well, it took Sr. till, you know, just right before he had his accident to win the 500. You know, it was like the year before. So it took him 20-some years.
Yeah. So Tony will be in, and now Tony is driving dragsters. Is he competing against Leah this weekend?
No,
I don't think Tony's competing this weekend.
I don't think they'll compete against each other ever.
Really? Well, you know,
I really don't.
I think he'd probably have to lay down. That ass might dry up if you hole shot her and you win, right?
Well, I mean, yeah,
she spins, starts spinning a half track.
I can see where it could create all kinds of problems.
Right. I mean, he did date a girl before that he raced with, and that did, that did cause some problems.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think it's time for us to leave, fuck boy. What do you think?
Yeah, let's fucking get out of here.
It's another episode of Klim Kush with a little bit of Sumo. Appreciate you, Sumo.
Yeah.
We got Ben in an hour and Tony in 2 hours. It's just a fucking chop. How was your dinner last night?
Dinner was awesome. Salt Rock Grill is a great place.
Salt Rock Grill, Seth.
Sumo knows where to go when he's here.
You know you're rich when you go to Salt Rock, my friend. It's our Sethy boy. He's not your boy toy. Direct deposits. He's making profits. He's picking pockets. When his daughter's around, he stole dumbbells. He's building money.
digging tunnels deep under the ground. He's just a fuck boy. He's not your boy toy. He is our Sethy boy. He's not your boy toy.